All right. It's going.
It's rolling. Let me pull out my notes.
Howdy, and welcome to the Three Stride Podcast, where we take a humorous look at the equestrian world. Here are your hosts, Laura Fernandez, Julia Hansen, and Molly Heroy. Giddy up.
Welcome to the Three Stride Podcast. I'm Laura Fernandez, and typically I am joined by my beautiful co-host, Julia Hansen and Molly Heroy, but they are where else? They are at a horse show this weekend. So I am joined by my husband, JC Fernandez.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. This is.
I can actually take Molly's hello and Julia's hello and drop them in and make it sound like they're here.
Oh, perfect. That's exactly what we need. But they always like change things up a little bit with their hellos. They do. How did you do?
Hello.
Engineer Andrew is not here because he's probably in Disneyland. That's our overarching joke that we have.
He's a Disney adult and he enjoys it.
He is. Well, since Julia and Molly are at the horse show, I thought it would be good for any new listener tuning in. You may not know the story of actually how we all met and how we launched this podcast. So a quick refresher. So Julia, I met, probably about 15 years ago. She was 12 years old. I was in my 20s.
2008, wasn't it?
Yeah. I am so bad. That's one thing Julia's good at is math. But I met her and again, we've known each other for quite some time. And then Molly, I met through the Las Vegas community and she actually runs and owns her own tax store. So I met her through then.
So you met Julia when she was 12 years old?
I did.
Wow.
I know. That's like one of my favorite stories is the fact that I met her when she was 12 years old.
They were little kids. We went to a different barn party and they're there running around, little girls making, weren't they making treats for the horses?
I don't know what they were doing. Probably like granola.
I remember being at Katie's 16th birthday party.
Oh my gosh.
It was a horse show. We all went to, she turned 16, right? Went to her birthday party. And then I remember going to visit Julia in college at Arizona State. And she
No, she went to, did she go to Arizona State?
ASU.
ASU. Oh, yeah, you're right.
We went to go visit her and she wasn't 21, but we went to get sushi and she ordered a glass of wine.
Oh, yes. I do remember that. I do remember. And I was all worried because she was taking too many sips of it. I was like, oh gosh. And then Molly, again, I met through, she had her tax store set up. And met her and instantly hit it off. And just the three of us were so tight through the years. And Molly and I had, we always go to dinner probably like once a month or every other month. And one of those nights that we went to dinner, Julia crashed. And the three of us were just riffing. And we decided right then and there to launch a podcast. And we all moved pretty quickly. So we had Molly's husband, Ryan, created the logo. But we moved quick. We launched it. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but I think if anyone has been listening for a moment, they know I work at SiriusXM. We have some streaming platforms like Pandora, but we also produce over 300 plus original shows like Conan Needs a Friend, Office Ladies. We actually just got the distribution rights for Smartless.
So good.
Yeah, I was pumped about that. And so podcasting and music is a really big part of my career, my day to day. No one really at the company had their own podcast. So I really wanted to understand from start to finish of how to do this. And my boss, so my role is I head up the travel tourism vertical. So everything from the advertising perspective and travel, that's my team. And my boss wanted me to launch a travel podcast, and which was really exciting. I love the industry. I mean, this is what my career is based on, the travel industry. But I felt like there was a lot of travel podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried about listenership and I was just moving pretty slow on it. And so when this came about, I was like, this is great. Because now when I talk to all our partners about podcasting, I instantly have a little plug for the Three Stride podcast.
And plus, you know the process. You know how this whole thing works. It's not easy starting a podcast. A lot of people try it.
Yeah.
And they'll get like two or three podcasts in and realize you have to put in the work.
If someone
asks me about, they tell me I'm going to start a podcast and ask, okay, what is your target audience? And you guys obviously have one and a massive following. It's amazing how many people follow the show. You have to have your target audience. And I always tell them, plan on doing 10 podcasts in a row. Just do 10 in a row. Yep. Go in on a Saturday and Sunday, put out 10. Because that way you have a couple of months worth of podcasts because they're going to go by fast. And all of a sudden, you got to start coming up with content and coming in the studios. And kudos to you three for doing it for 100 shows, over 100 shows.
Over 100 shows. We're coming upon our third year. We may be actually going into, I think, year three right now, because I'm pretty sure we launched it in April.
Yep.
And yeah, it is. It takes some time, but it's what I always say about podcasting is that, first off, it's fun to talk with Julia and Molly and just riff and talk about the horses, which, as everyone knows in the equestrian world, we can talk about horses all day long. But I also love the forum because it doesn't interrupt someone's daily life and they can listen to the podcast when they're driving to the barn or they're going on a walk or a run. It just doesn't interrupt their daily life, where I am, Instagram and TikTok are great mediums, but again, you have to sit there and stare. But we have so many people, I think, that we know that actually listen to the podcast while riding, which I do not recommend. I do.
Focus on what's in front of you.
I like can't handle when people are listening to anything when they're riding. It's okay. I shouldn't say, okay, I'm judging a little bit, but because I feel like when you're on a horse, you have to have full awareness of your surroundings, because the horses, their hearing is obviously next to none. It's insane. So you just need to be present and hear things. And I always would get frustrated when people are playing music when they're riding around. I'm like, I just want to hear the sights and sounds of the horses. But I have the same mindset of running. I don't like to run with headphones.
That's not safe. I think running with music and you can't hear someone coming up behind you, that's so unsafe.
The same. Like, I think with riding, I mean, you're jamming out to some music and I just feel like you can't feel and hear everything, because especially with contact's so noise sensitive. If I can hear a bird chirping before this guy,
boy gets distracted.
He does. He gets so distracted.
Tongue hanging out.
Oh my gosh. Missy, my trainer, called him Ditzy the other day, and I got really offended. Well, whenever someone says anything about the horses, I get offended. But I was like, come on, no. He's just very focused and he's aware of his surroundings.
It's like calling someone's kid ditzy.
Yeah.
Your teacher telling your kid, oh, he's so ditzy. What?
No,
That's my son.
I don't like that. Not one bit. No one can say anything about my horses. I can get.
Well, how does it feel with Julia and Malia at the show right now? And you're not at the show. Normally, this is Julia's. Is this her first show at the new barn?
Yeah. So she moved to Molly's barn, Aspen Hill, here in Vegas. And we had been at the same barn together, so Blue Ribbon. And yeah, this is her first show with a new barn. Both, so Julia, my thing with watching Julia, because a lot of people have been asking, oh, have you been just watching her live when she goes in? Because Showgrounds Live, you can watch everyone. Julia is one, I don't know if it's this big sister, little sister mentality, but I truly cannot watch her live. I honestly, because now she's in the 30s. These are big jumps. I have this definitely big sister mentality where I get very nervous. Just this morning, I knew when she was showing, and I always tell her, I'm like, you have to text me right when you get off and then send me a video. So I hadn't heard from her, and her boyfriend Mike was at the show. I'm like, okay, don't text Mike. Don't think about it. But I can't watch her live.
Well, there's an anxiety, I think, for anyone that is watching someone that they love ride. When I watch you ride,
get a little?
Yes! There's a massive amount of anxiety watching someone that you love ride. I used to, and I don't know what's changed, but I used to always have to try to, you know, film it on my phone, but I think someone films it now, so the pressure to not film you is no longer there. But I still like to capture it just on my own. But I got to be by myself, so I'll go and try to find a quiet spot, you know, outside the arena. But at the same time, I'm watching the course because my fear is you're going to take the turn and see me standing there with the two dogs or something. So I need to be discreet. Maybe I can hide behind a tree or something. Oh, and then once you pass me,
you pop out.
Hey, over here. If anyone else like this, it's such a thought process. Where are you going to stand? What are you going to do? And then I didn't realize that I'm actually talking through year round.
You are, because when I moved from the meters to the meter tens. It was a very short stint, but I was doing the meter tens with our lease horse, Sylvan, who I loved so much. Me saying his name still kind of makes me tear up. But Sylvan, I was in my meter 10 round, and it was honestly one of my favorite rounds of my entire riding career. But you're filming, and you got to see it, and the whole time you're saying, max out. Max out. Max out. Max out.
There's a motivational speaker. His name is Ed Milette, and that's his catchphrase, max out. He's an awesome guy. I've met him a couple times, interviewed him, and that's his catchphrase, max out. And who's his friend that rides out at Thermal?
Teddy Mellencamp.
Yeah, so yeah. Ed was actually at one of the shows watching Teddy ride, and so I just picked it up. Ed always says to max out, and Laura was out there doing her thing, and I'm just kind of like, she's coming up to the first jump, and I'm like, max out. Like, max out that jump, and you nail the first jump. And so maybe it was just like OCD the rest of the round, like, max out, max out, max out, max out, max out. As you're getting close to the jump, I'm saying it louder and louder, max out. And I'm not even realizing I'm doing it until afterwards.
Yeah.
We go back and listen to you hear me saying max out the entire time.
And it's so fun because that's honestly one of my favorite rounds that I've had in my riding career. And Molly has her new horse, Annie, and she went from 10, or sorry, she went from, did one day meter, she's already a meter 10, crushing it. Both of them are having such a successful show, so I'm excited to get them back in the studio. But back to your original question, do I miss being there? This is kind of a tough one because honestly, right now, no. And maybe I miss the atmosphere of being at a show, but I don't miss being there and actually competing. Right now, I've been focused so much on my career. I've been traveling a ton, and it's my trainer, I reference Missy a lot, but Missy was like, this is your season. Like, this is your season with your career, and you're really dotted. Not like saying I'm not always focused on my career, just I'm reporting into someone new. My travel is ramped up. We have made some shifts in our sales org, so I'm just getting everyone ramped up and understanding the travel industry. So I'm really dialed in. I mean, you know me. I'm like waking up at like 3:30 in the morning right now to get work done. But I'm not missing it. But at home, I have been really focusing on grid work and next level technical things. And to go back to it, and you know this, I feel like since I've been in rebuild mode, and since January of, I guess it would have been 2023, when I had, and I always struggle with talking about falls or for injuries, because I really do believe that you have to, it happened, move forward, don't put it in your head anymore. But I do also find some comfort in talking through it. But in January 2023, I was at a horse show, and I was riding Sylvan, was in the tens, and the last jump, I took a bad fall. No fault to Sylvan. It was, I saw more of an open spot, and we just were off an inch. And so he safety upped and added another one, and I just got catapulted over and landed and got a really bad, bad concussion. And I've had a couple concussions through my riding career. And I this one really rocked my world. And it definitely added another layer of nervousness when it came to jumping. And the whole past year, I mean, I've come so far. I really do. I think that you can't compare yourself to other people. You have to compare yourself to what you were doing yesterday. And I've come so far, but I'm in definitely rebuild mode. And what I have found helpful is doing the grid work, doing so much technical things. And just the other day, had an amazing jumping lesson and felt like I'm getting back in height. Mm-hmm. Would love to just get back up to meter 10. And I also, I can't tell you, I mean, you know this, I love Garcon and Contact, my two horses, so much. And not the thought of me not being accurate and me screwing things up, I don't want Garcon to ever quote, quote, pack me around. I want to be on it. I want to be accurate. And I also know right now I got to keep it low. I got to keep it low and comfortable and not, we're still challenging ourselves, but I have like a visceral reaction when I think that if I screw something up and I don't want to do that. And
what do you mean by screw something up?
Like say if I miss or if I'm not accurate and he crashes into the jump
okay.
and he hurts himself.
Yeah.
I don't, honestly, JC, I don't know if I actually really can ever or ever want to even jump him bigger than maybe some meter tens at home and then do some meters at the show.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I know.
You don't put these expectations to get a certain height. I mean, if that's what you want to do, great. But there's no law of the land that says you need to be jumping this high.
Yeah.
But this is what makes you happy. And I'm sure there's so many people listening right now that jump lower, but it's more than just the height of the jump. It's your being with the horses, the experience, yeah. the connection. There's so much more to it. There's no rule book that says you have to keep jumping bigger and bigger and bigger. You do what makes you happy.
Yeah, and agreed. And that's really, I think maybe that's also I'm coming to that realization and I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm okay with not being at the horse show
yeah.
because I put such a pressure on myself when I'm at the horse show.
Yeah.
Or at least I did in 2023. It was heavy. And I don't want to push that on Garcon. I don't want to give Garcon any bad energy. And you're right. I mean, I definitely think I have an ego thing of moving up in jump height. And
aren't you, at the end of the day, just the only person you're competing against is yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm sure a lot of riders, you mentally start competing against someone else. Oh, my friend Susan, we started here. Now she's jumping this height. I need to be jumping that height. Well, if you don't want to jump that height, don't jump it.
Yeah. I think there's also a connotation that the higher you jump, the better your rider you are. Mm-hmm. And I don't agree with that. I do think it takes a lot of grit and you have to be incredibly brave. You have to be incredibly accurate to jump those higher fences. But I also think that you can still be an exceptional and talented rider if you're not doing that. That's mm-hmm. my little plug. I'm like, I don't think I'm a bad rider.
No, you're an amazing rider.
Well, thank you. You're great. My husband.
Well, no, you are. And you're a great horseman, horsewoman, too. I don't know if the word is your horsemanship.
Horsemanship
is great, too. The way you take care of your horses. And I think the show, too, is just more than there's so much that goes into a show. That's the experience, the traveling out there, the bonding with your yes. fellow riders, the you know going out
yeah,
to barn
thing.
Dinners. It's
yeah.
more than just the 90 seconds you're in the arena. And that's a vital part of it. But there's to me, when you go to a show, it's the experience that you'd be going for.
Yeah. I mean, I heard someone the other day that was saying, oh, you know, don't waste your money if you're not going to be doing the higher classes. But I don't agree with that because I love a horse vacation. That's really what I'm missing right now
yeah.
is the horse vacation aspect. And the competition is great. But for me sitting in my horse's stall and being around them all the time.
Yeah, going back at night after dinner. And,
yes.
Yeah.
And like venue also means something to mm-hmm. me. Like I love to go on trails, like on a day off. And venue does mean something to me. But I know if anyone has listened before, I really do budget and how I'm spending on the horses and everything. But I budgeted for the year for a specific amount of horse shows. And now that I'm really technically not able to show until like June or July, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like saving some money here.
When you skip a show, you wind up saving some money, which is nice.
Yes, it is. I really do. Like I am this week, we have a clinic coming up. So 3-day clinic with Ronnie Reimer. I think he's the German equestrian. So I'm really pumped about that. I am in, I'm in the clinic with my friend Sarah and then actually our trainer. Gosh, Missy's been getting lots of love on this podcast. And Missy, and I can't tell you how happy it is to train and have a clinic with my trainer. I think it's the coolest thing in the world. My happy place is when I have both Missy and Annette in the ring with me. It's like hacking and everything and being with your trainers. It's my solo barn dream.
I'm trying to look up the person you talked about. Ronnie Reimer is the person?
Yes. He's the German equestrian and he's hysterical. He's a really good following. He actually, the last time he was at the barn, I had contact and I was jumping contact. Oh my gosh. Did I tell you I totally forgot to tell you this, that we did a little Crossrail with Contact.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he had two tendon injuries and we just made the call not to ever jump him again. But he's been jumping. Literally, I don't know if I told you this the other day, we're canning around the arena. He had pooped. And every time we would can around the arena, he would jump over his poop.
He was making a jump for himself.
It was so random, but he was jumping over his poop. I'm like, okay, this guy is really just jonesing. So we did a little cross rail.
I remember the video. Yeah, it was cool.
And he was so good. I loved it. If I could jump Contact now with my riding ability, I still feel like I was in panic mode when I was jumping him. We had so many great shows. I loved him, or I love him and love jumping him. But gosh, where I'm at right now, if I could jump him, it would just be, oh, that's, I have thoughts of it all the time. But anytime like he sees a jump, he locks in. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do a little cross rail. So hopefully he stays sound.
He's a good boy.
He is. Well, again, I know it is definitely, I miss Molly. I miss Julia. But JC, I'm so happy you were able to come in. And also for me just to share my comeback.
Comeback and the backstory on the podcast. Yeah, it was good. Some people are probably came in not from episode one, so they need the backstory on the podcast.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you can catch new episodes every single Tuesday and follow us on all social channels. Julia does such a good job creating reels.
Yeah, who did the reel of her at the show right now? Is it to Mustang Sally? What's the song you guys use?
I don't know.
It was really good.
It was?
You didn't see it?
No.
Maybe it was on Julia. It says like Julia jumping in slow motion, some song playing.
Oh.
It was so good.
I don't know. Maybe I didn't turn the volume up. But Joe, yeah. She's so good. Julia's so good at doing the reels and everything. I made a joke that Julia does all these really cool reels. And I also go on to our Instagram and just post stuff. And I held up in my amazing locker a crop holder. That was my big news. This was I hung up a crop holder.
I'm going to play the Julia. I'll have to mute the volume on my end, but you can react to it, okay? It's like a reaction YouTube chip thing.
Okay. Oh, yes. Yes. That. So what I think she's going to do, gosh, she keeps asking me for vertical videos versus the horizontal.
Yeah, vertical, you can make those cool videos.
Yeah, I didn't. I have like all horizontal. She's like, can you do some vertical videos?
Gotta be vertical.
Yep. I didn't know that. Okay. So you can catch new episodes every single Tuesday and follow us on all social channels at the 3 Stride Podcast.